Shortly, in probably 10 or 15 minutes or so, I'll get Litmus on the line so that we can speak to him live. But I just want to give you a bit of an overview of the kind of work that he's been doing. He kicked off, like many of us, with a job with washes coming in and all that kind of stuff. And I guess, like many of us, eventually concluded that it was probably better to do the other thing. And he used his experience from industry, which I think was basically in project planning and the like, to apply the things that he'd learned in one place to a kind of a new approach to life. And so when you're pulling off a big stunt of one sort or another, generally there's a kind of a three-phase process that's gone through, which is to evaluate what it is that you want to do and where you want to get to from where you are, and then develop some sort of strategy that's going to lead to the one thing growing out of the other. And having looked at your kind of basic development of strategy, you then implement it. And that's pretty much what Litmus did in terms of looking at, basically, he'd, I think, come across some of the Freeman on the Land information and wanted to use this basic technique, this basic structure, if you like, to examine, first of all, what it was that it was saying. Secondly, in the second phase, how it was you might test all of that. And then in the third phase, to actually go out and test it. And he did an amazing amount of research in the process, including freedom of information requests. And the result is a very carefully constructed website, which I'll just paste into the chat boxes. One of the things I like about it is I think it's pretty good both for the beginner and for the advanced practitioner, as it were, because what we've got is a lot of core information in one place, and every single bit of it, I think, probably gives you enough information to then go and do more research on whichever subjects kind of interest us. So for those who can't actually see the website, at the very beginning, when he's testing the hypothesis, as it were, the subjects that he looked into were the question of freedom and slavery. So if we put them the other way around, slavery is what we've got and freedom is what we're looking for. And so he goes looking for definitions of free and slave, and shows that by definition, most of us are more like slaves, especially if we're employed, whilst believing ourselves to be free. He talks about English and legalese, which is something that we're all aware of, that the two languages might look the same, but they mean something completely different. He has a look at the common law against the civil law once again. Put those the other way around. The civil law is where we find ourselves, and something more akin to the common law, though perhaps not it itself, is what we're after. Perhaps natural law might be a better term. I don't know, actually. And then he looks into the maritime background of the administration we find ourselves living in. He has a bit of a look at what we've got as a constitution. He spends a bit of time looking at what a person is and what's in a name. And then he examines states and societies as another subject, and countries and corporations, and looks into what is registration. Each of these has got several sections under it. So we've got a look at the official constitution, with four documents that you can go and have a look at that form the basis of that research. And the Magna Carta, he looks at constitutional structures. When he's looking at states and societies, which are, I think, pretty big and difficult subjects to get our head around, but they are quite important because they are, if you like, the structure through which the system imposes itself. And he goes and looks at definitions for state and sovereign, and what a sovereign personality is and what a state corporation is. Definitions of public sovereignty, societies and institution. All really cracking stuff. And this is the material that Litmus was covering when I first met him. And as I say, several years have gone by now, probably 3, maybe 4 years. And in that time, he's kind of moved on to the sort of things that we're going to be talking about tonight, which is really having looked at all of the information, having looked at the background, and concluded that at least the background material to the Freeman on the Land, as a reaction to the Freeman on the Land material, showed that most of the claims being made seemed to be pretty accurate. That being the case, it became a matter of having a look at how it was that one might set about becoming free, achieving once again some kind of agency in one's life, because basically it is a matter of moving from being a playing piece in a game to being a player, I think, is one of the best ways I've heard of looking at it. So tonight, as I say, we're going to be talking about where Litmus is now. We'll be looking at calendars and many other subjects that are very current, and all have come about, I think, as a result of the discoveries in these early years of his searching. So I'm going to put on one of Litmus's songs. It's called No More, and I think it gives a really good idea of where Litmus the man is coming from. And whilst that's playing, I'll give him a call, and hopefully when I come back to you, I'll have a live guest on the line. So this is No More from Litmus. Almost.
This is Media Streaming International Radio.
History, the royalty, in ignorance we all obeyed. They told us from God's name their power came, building monuments where we all prayed. And said the royal we depend on me to save you from the hordes abroad. Independency we failed to see, we were dying by their cousin's bloody sword. But as our numbers grew, the royals knew they had to find a better way to keep control of every soul and find a better God to whom we pray. 'Cause as the years went by, our people died fighting in their family wars. But there were those that cried, we've all been lied to. They've stolen all our land and we're all poor. But it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like that no more. No, it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like that. They saw the human seed was sowed with greed. Many of us could be bought. The aristocracy were proof, you see, given all the land that they'd also in return to be their military and lorded on the serfs below, who'd be the fodder for their family wars. Work the land that the gentry owned to teach the royal rules. They founded schools for the family trees of aristocracies that came to be corporately by royal charter universities. And from the wide country to the cramped cities, people flocked the likes of you and me, working to their knees in factories or down a deep dark mine where it was hard to see. That it didn't have to be like, didn't have to be like that no more. No, it didn't have to be like, didn't have to be like that no more. Over time, the corporate crime was shattered in the form of banks. And from the corporate soul who charged our toll, the aggregate was formed to swell their ranks. And so it came to be system that we serve today, where the life you're shown is what you own. Working for the banksters' debts to pay. Keep working hard and play your cards if you want to win the game. It's monopoly for the powers that be, so they don't have to do the bloody same. Yeah, it's a family game in all but name, and the banker always seems to win. While it's austerity for you and me, and you'd better beg their priest to absolve your sins. But it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like that no more. No, it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like that. So we were lost at sea to slavery, and our parents never were to know. Gave us as assets free to the company for a certificate of birth receipt to show. And now they feed us news to form our views, done by all the bloody mess. It's never-ending work and servitude, never-ending worry, war and stress. Yeah, we were born and raised to be their slaves, but we're learning how to see the truth. And I'm here to say, don't be that way. Take time to search and you will find the proof. And then you'll find a way to save your day, claim your right to liberty. Say no, be brave, with love behave. Realize that we are all born free. Free your body physically, free your mind, and you will see that you can set your spirit free. But it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like that no more. No, it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like that. I said it doesn't have to be like, no more. No, it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like that. No more. No more. No more. No more.
There you go, Litmus and No More. And hopefully if I press this green button over here, Litmus should be with me now, live online. Can you hear me, Litmus?
I can hear you sweet as a nut, man.
Very good, yeah. You're looking extremely good here as well. So thanks very much for joining us on the Dr. Rock Radio Show.
Always a pleasure, dude.
Well, we want to talk about sort of where you're at now after your original kind of introduction to the kind of state we're in, as it were. And you called that the sort of first movement of your freedom, as it were, sort of surf to self, didn't you? What did you have in mind when you wrote that?
Yeah, well, I got to doing that after I did what I call part one of my website, projectfreeman.com. So when I originally set up the project in sort of late 2008 to research, I think you've covered some of that already, yeah? To research the free man on the land sort of hypothesis and see if it was plausible and true, and I found it was, you know. So what was the whole project originally? That became part one now, and then I got into part two and part three. And it's basically, it's like a 3x3 magic square, if you imagine that. In part one, you got phase one, two, and three, and in part two, you got phase four, five, and six, and in part three, you got phase seven, eight, and nine.
It's always good to work in threes, isn't it?
Yeah, because the universe is based on three, you know. So that's what one of the things I kind of got. Part one was just what I call free the body. You know, time to see that you're a slave, and what you can do about it, and what all the free man on the land stuff does is it gives you a way through studying and research of how the system works, gives you a way of getting free of that. And, you know, using it to free your body, free yourself physically so that you've got time then. You know, you haven't got to work and pay, you know, do a job maybe you don't want to do, really, just to earn money to pay bills and survive, you know. So
just being aware of it is the start of that process, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah, because, you know, until something jolts you, you know, you're not really aware. You're kind of living in a bit of a, maybe a bit of ignorance or a bit of a dream world or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of it can be fun. You know, I've never said like that, you know, being in the system, it's not all gloom and doom, you know, it's not all bad. You can have a lot of fun in it as well, but it is a bit like being a child, you know, and it's a bit like, you know, one of the Rage songs says, you know, the billboard says, come and play, forget the movement, you know. It's a bit like that. It's a bit, you know, it entices you with lots of bright colors and loud noises and fun things to do and stuff. And it rewards you for going along with it all with money and material sort of things, you know. But after a while, you realize that isn't the answer and it doesn't make you happy, you know, and it's all becomes a bit hollow and kind of shallow and meaningless. So
that's the thing, you know, that's the thing, yeah, is that you get to realize that there must be a better way.
Yeah, exactly. So in the Gregorian calendar, we're going to talk about calendars later, but
yeah,
let's stick with the Gregorian sort of made up thing for now.
Yeah.
So in 2008, I started the project, and by 2010, I deregistered everything and got free pretty much of the whole thing, apart from sending the affidavit into the Queen to deregister my citizenship, if you like, so my person from the system.
Yeah.
So I just kept that bit because I found at the time and up until about now, really, it's served its purpose to do that, you know. Because
what effects did you see from doing that?
Well, you know, you can still use statutes. I mean, the main reason I got into all this stuff was as a protest against the war, you know, I didn't want my money, my tax money, to be used for things I didn't agree with anymore. Mm-hmm. So I reported the government for war crimes, you know, and I took it all the way through to the International Criminal Court in The Hague and got a letter back from them acknowledging it. So this, you know, that's on part one of the website, so you can check that out. But
that's an ongoing project, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Although I've kind of, in some ways, I finished part one, and I got myself free physically. Some of that is carrying on, you know, because I'm just about to write off to the International Criminal Court to get an update. Because the good thing about that was that they wrote back to me, and you can see the letter that they wrote back online there on part one of my website. So they've given me a reference number and it's on record at the prosecutor's office. So I can now write back to them, you know, all these years later and say, well, you know, what's happening? Because I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah.
And let's get an update, you know, see where we are. So, yeah, that's going on. But, yeah, like I say, it got to about 2000, about, yeah, exactly kind of 3 years ago. And I was kind of free physically. And I hit the road in my camper van with my guitar and a bit of cash, you know, and headed off around Europe, busking and playing music and stuff. And what that did, that, you know, that's where I found complete freedom, really, every day to just be what I wanted to be and have lots of time in nature and open, kind of meditating, really. I mean, meditation, I think people think meditation is a certain prescribed way of doing something, you know, to be transcendental or whatever. But I found meditating is basically just one way of doing it is to be in nature, be on a beach or in the woods, or, you know, just with that good air, the fresh air and all of that good stuff, and away from all the concrete and the tarmac and the metal.
Well, you're working at it from both ends there, aren't you? Because the tarmac and the straight lines and all those other consciousnesses around you are a constant active distraction. Whereas, like, watching just watching, I know what you mean, watching the sea, just watching waves breaking can be a meditation, or listening to birdsong.
Totally, man, exactly. I mean, I had one of my most kind of meditative spiritual experiences of being in the moment on a beach in the Algarve, you know, a beach called Barranco, with my friend Sue. And, you know, we were having a little smoke and chatting about astrology and stuff. And yeah, and I was just sitting there watching the waves coming in and then, you know, spiraling in along the beach. You know, because they're not waves, they're spirals, they're vortices. That's yes. what you know.
Yeah. Well.
And then, you know, and then they sort of spiraled out again and they spiraled in and they spiraled out. And I really totally just for a few moments, you know, got into it was just one moment. It was just one infinite continuous moment and there was no past and future. And that's the only, I got to be honest, that's one of the few times I've actually experienced that.
But now you know you can do it and your inner you knows what it's like.
Exactly. You can kind of, because you've done it, you can tap back into it again. So, yeah, I mean, and I've, as you say, when you're in a town or a city, you know, all, because, you know, I got to the point where I, through some of the Nassim Haramein stuff I got into, you know, he talks about us being the center of our own universe. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit when we get onto the surf to self thing.
Yeah.
But I did find that, you know, and I think when we're in a town or a city with loads of other people all crammed on top of each other, all those universes are really overlapping and sort of swamping each other. And there's not a lot of room for any other energy to get in there, you know. And
I found it quite tiring to be in a city. I do have to go to London and Birmingham. And even if I'm not doing anything, kind of wake up at my normal time. And by 10 o'clock in the morning, I need a nap.
Exactly. And that's what I'm finding now being back on the island, you know, spending more time in towns and cities and on trains and with lots of people around and stuff. Yeah. And it is draining, but the way to keep the connection is by just sometimes closing your eyes and picturing the sun or picturing the beach or some trees and taking yourself back to one of those happy places, you know, and then all that really good energy that you felt in that place sort of comes back to you in the place you are now, you know. And so
that's a useful skill, isn't it? Because otherwise this kind of I suppose you call it nervous exhaustion can become kind of cumulative, and if you just kind of set yourself back to zero every now and then, it can keep it all within manageable bounds, can't it, or help to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I mean, everything's a distraction, you know, from your path. We all come here with something, with a bit of a mission, you know, I think. And there's lots of distractions from that. It's like, you know, if you look at the homepage of my project, if you scroll down the bottom there, you'll see I've got a thing, just a sketch out of my, I mean, let's have a look at it. If you guys are online, if you go to projectfreeman.com and to the main homepage,
I'll paste that into the chat boxes.
All right, yeah, just the homepage. You'll see it says the journey home there, and there's a bit of a video from Paradigm Shift TV. But if you scroll right down, it sort of shows you the structure of the project. But if you keep going past all that, yeah. past the music and the Troubadour Community Trust, and
that's all the stuff that I used as the introduction up at the top there. But you can as you scroll down it, you can just see how much stuff there is on here. This is what I meant when I said that it was a really good, you know, sort of treasury of information, and all of it you can then go and look further into it yourself, can't you?
You can, yeah. I mean, you can get a cup of tea or whatever,
yeah,
and go through it. That's it.
I must admit, one of the things I really like about it is it goes yellow when you've been somewhere, so that you can see what you've already looked at. I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I tried to build that in. I mean, you know, it's not as fancy as some of these more modern sort of WordPress sites, you know, where you've got all very nice menus looks more like an online magazine. I mean, I'd like to be able to do that at some point, but I've had to build all this myself in HTML, you know, so
yeah.
Try to give it, because you know what it's like. This, you know, if you've looked at any of the, just the Freeman stuff, before we even get into the, some of the spiritual, more spiritual stuff, there's just so much information there, you know.
Yeah.
But I've tried to kind of structure it in bite-sized chunks on menus and things, so you can go through it at your own pace. But what I was going to say was, if you scroll past all that stuff, you'll see I got a thing there, the journey home is like a game of snakes and ladders, which is just a little simple sketch out of my journal. But it's like, you know, imagine square one is bottom left corner and square 100 is up on the top right. And, you know, part of the journey is to...
I'm just trying to make sure I've got the right page here. I've got...
You're on just on the homepage, projectfreeman.com homepage. But if you keep scrolling down the homepage, past the all the menus, you'll see...
Okay.
See, it says the journey home is like a game of snakes and ladders.
Yeah, I've got
just a little sketch up here. You got that? So, you know,
I'll put the right address into the chat box for people, and they've probably found their own way to it now because they're all a lot more adept than I am.
You know, maybe you had part one or in there or something, but this is just the home page, very top level. I mean, if we were going back to corporate days, Nick, we'd probably say, you know, if this was a process map, we'd be at level zero, okay?
Yeah.
And part one is at level one, and so on, you know. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
so we're right at the top level of the project here. So
yeah,
anyway, just this point that, you know, when you're really focused on your journey from the darkness back to the light, you know, and from the density of the material world back to the oneness of the spirit, and that's what I call home. You know, that's why I call it the journey home.
Yeah.
You know, I found it's first about freeing your body and then freeing your mind and freeing your spirit. But to do that, you first have to free your spirit, to free your mind, to free your body, and free your mind to free your spirit. You know, it's a kind of lemon skate, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. Goes on and on. But if you're focused on your mission and you know what you're trying to achieve, then you go up the ladders really quick, you know?
Yeah.
So that's about staying focused. But what the system does it gives you lots of snakes to step on called distractions. You know, and there's some of the things we talked about earlier, like drugs is one of those, to be honest. You know, you find when you're perhaps if you're bogged down in the system a bit and you happen to work a lot and you haven't really got a lot of time for yourself and stuff, and you've got lots of responsibilities, you know, you want when you get out of that for the evening, you come home from work or whatever, you want to veg out and have a beer or, you know, whatever, some kind of stimulant or something, just as a little treat, you know, because you've been working all day or whatever it is.
But
a lot of those things are like distractions, and they're the snakes you step on that take you back down again, you know.
And that's about all you've got the energy for when you're doing the old full time slaving, isn't it?
Well, exactly, you know. But once you get free of the slavery, and you got time to just be, then you can focus on the ladders again, and you can get there much quicker, you know.
Yeah. Did you, just as a matter of interest, did you find that moving? Because now that you're mostly moving around. Off the island, as it were, did you find that the movement, just physically moving outside of one administration into another, was freeing as well?
Oh, totally. I gotta say, when I came back this time, and I went from the airport on a coach into London to get a train, it was like driving into the Blade Runner movie. Mm. You know, because it was grey, there was a cloud cover, it was raining. There was loads of traffic everywhere, and it was quite cold, and everyone looked miserable, you know. And I'm not dissing the place. I'm not trying to say it's like that for everyone, because it's not. And I love this place, and I got a lot of lovely people here. But just that experience of going through North London, it was like driving into Blade Runner, you know, that's how it felt. And I did feel a kind of oppressive, a kind of bad kind of karma, a bad karmic kind of energy hanging over the place. And I put that down to a lot of the shit that the British Empire has been responsible for over the years, you know. I kind of feel like there's maybe, it's a bit like Tolkien, you know, it's a bit like there's a dark cloud hanging over Middle Earth, you know. It's like,
I know,
you know, because, you know what I mean? I mean, not the people, not the lovely people here, but the people who stole this land 1,000 years ago and who've been kind of controlling it ever since, you know, they've been responsible for some really bad shit and spread it all over the world, you know, through the British Empire, which has gone on into the American Empire, which is kind of in decline now, you know, as they go in cycles. But you still got the same people, as far as I can see, behind the scenes pulling the strings and that, you know. So I think that gives a bad karma and that energy is kind of hanging over the land. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's so cloudy all the time. I really do.
I think you could be right, as within, so without, as it were. I think it's important to remember that I think one of the effects of all of this is that because we feel a need for a beer or to sit and veg out in front of the telly or whatever it is we're going to do, that one of the effects of all of this is to prevent us from getting to know each other and work together with each other. Because I know that I don't know whether you ever saw a documentary by Grayling Barraclough called The System, when he talked to lots of people involved in various freedom endeavours in the UK, but loads of people he interviewed, but the one that really struck me was an old lady who I think had been living in terraced housing in Preston. And do you know, she only remembered good stuff from the old days. She remembered community. She remembered people getting together and all of that. And all the things that, all these other things seem to have actually imposed themselves in between us and that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and maybe, what was that called again? Maybe we can get a link to that and we can check it out.
It was called,
what was that called?
It was called The System. And I know it's
The System by who?
Grayling Barraclough, his name is.
Grayling Barraclough. Okay, yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah, there's lots of interesting folk on there. And I'm not sure that interview actually made the final cut, unfortunately, because I think that the lady's family objected. And so it had to be taken out. But I think I've probably still got a DVD with it on. If I have, I'll see if I can let you have a copy.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, as far as I can see, pretty much in my lifetime, you know, I hit the half century on the solstice.
Yay!
So, you know, 50 spirals around the sun and 18,264 rotations on the axis. Days, that is, you know.
Yeah. I looked at mine today. I think I'm something like 19,082 days long, I think.
You old git.
19,082 days old, I am.
Yeah, that's
And
it.
You're right, I like that. It really does throw a different perspective on it.
We'll come on to that, you know, and it's a bit of fun. But yeah, I think you can go back to when we were kids. And a lot of the damage kind of things been done since then, you know, during our lifetimes. Like, yeah, I remember Tesco being a little, you know, a little shop in the high street kind of thing.
Now
it's like a megalomaniac, obsessive control freak who's trying to take over the world, you know.
I remember the very first time I was taken to Tesco's, because at that stage we were, I think, my mum was running a little haberdasher shop with kind of children's books and stuff in it. And we were part of a row of shops where there was a butcher and a hairdresser and there was a kind of greengrocer. And that's where we used to do all our shopping. And then at one stage, it all changed and we started getting into the car and driving to a place called Colville, which is what it sounds like. And there, for some reason, this new Tesco's had turned up. And I remember I was really young. I remember being totally unimpressed by the whole change.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's a lot of it's happened during those sort of 30 or 40 years. And be nice to get some of the, you know, you can always kind of reminisce and say, oh, it was all great in the old days, you know.
Yeah.
And then young, you know, I can remember being young and people saying things like that, and you think, oh, you miserable old git, you know, it's just, but you know, but when you get to be a bit older, you, yeah, I mean, there's a bit of nostalgia maybe, but you know, you can do the research and you can see that things have kind of gone a bit downhill. So anyway, but the good news is, you know, don't worry about all that, because there's a way of getting out of it, you know, and there's a way of stopping giving your energy to all the negative stuff. And to give all your energy to the positive, you know, and make, you know, manifest the world you want to see and you want to live in. So, no, yes. I think, well, we started off there, and then I wandered off a bit just to explain. I was trying to explain where that fits in. So just to recap then, I got free of using the Freeman stuff. I got free of the system pretty much and stopped paying tax for war. And then I headed off in the van and spent a lot of time in nature, as I said, meditating, opened my mind up to the universe and just said, hey, guys, you know, what do you want to tell me? What do you want me to do next? You know, I got a lot of free time now, so I can do what I want every day, you know, let's have some fun. And one of the first things I started getting was this kind of, maybe there's a way of kind of simplifying it for people, just like a little guide to freedom, you know.
Yeah.
And then, funny enough, I was down in France over that winter, sort of winter 2010, and I was interviewed on Glastonbury Radio by Hugh Newman.
Yeah, yeah, I know Hugh.
Who, funny enough, I think is actually back in my second home of the Algarve at the moment. But but you know, and he's. We talked about where I'd got to at that time, and he said, maybe you can do us a step-by-step guide to the Freeman stuff, you know. And that got me thinking, and I thought, well, actually, it's not just about Freeman stuff, you know. What Freeman stuff do is it, you know, you study the law and see how the system works, and you get yourself physically free of it. But freedom, true freedom, is a lot more than, you know, it's about a lot more than that. It's not just about stopping paying tax and getting out of the system. It's about all the other aspects of freedom, like freeing yourself from your ego and all that kind of stuff. So then I just kind of meditated on that, and I came up with this idea about surf to self. So
yeah,
and I've sent the link for Dropbox. So if anyone goes in the chat now and clicks on that, that'll take him.
Yeah. I'll put that in. I think it's the link that I put in there earlier.
And then if you click on that link, you'll see it'll open up a thing called Surf to Self, aka also known as Slave to Sovereign, the 9-step guide to freedom. There we go, that's what I called it. But you'll see the front page of that are these 9, and again, it's a 3x3 magic square, actually, which I'll explain. But it starts off at the bottom with surf.
Yeah,
and ends up at the top with self, and in between you got these 7 other S's, and that's just how it came to me. So I thought it was quite nice. If I was a management consultant or something, I'd probably make a bit of money with that in the corporate world.
Yes, yeah,
and I could go in as a consultant and charge them $1,000 a day and say, "This is what you need to do," you know. But you know, it actually kind of works. So if you have opened up that thing, I'll just take you in a couple of pages. So if you go from the front page, click on, you got the background, follow the fractal. So that bit's about the 9 worlds, the 9 layers of the fractal of the sensory material universe. So that's another whole meditation thing. And that's going to be part phase 5.
Yeah.
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 So that's not loaded yet, but basically you got, it's like 9 layers of an onion.
Yeah, that's funny that the Maya concentrate a lot on the number 9. They have 9 layers to the underworld. They do.
Yeah, well, there you go. And we are, of course, we are in the underworld. This is the underworld.
Yeah.
You know, and our challenge is to remember who we really are and get back home to spirit. You know, and out of the material universe. So I found meditating on that, there are 9 worlds within each other. You know, it's like layers of the fractal or layers of an onion. And each is a scale bigger or smaller than the next. And a lot of that came to me after getting into the Nassim Haramein stuff and watching some of his stuff. So that's that's going to be Project Freeman Phase 5, The Nine Worlds of the Base 3 Universe. And I don't want to go into it any more than that, other than to say that if you click again and you go on to page 3, humans, you know, sentient beings, that we're like the fifth of those nine worlds. So we got four worlds outside without us and four worlds inside. Life goes on within you and without you, as George Harrison said on Sergeant Pepper, you know.
Yeah, and physics seems to be bearing that out. It seems to be suggesting that objects we look at are partially made by being looked at.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, you know, I mean, if you just go back to the page 2 there, the follow the fractal thing, you know, the outer circle, the ninth world, you know, that's the universe. The next circle inside is the galactic world, where you zoom in and you find things that look like cells, which you zoom in and you find they've got galaxies with supermassive black holes in the middle. There's nucleuses and you got millions and billions of stars going around them like a aqueous fluid of a cell, you know.
Yeah.
And then you zoom in again to the next layer, and that's like the solar system, which again from a distance looks like a cell, and you zoom in, you find in the nucleus is a sun, and around it are spinning lots of planets and stuff, and they're almost in suspension within the walls of a cell, you know. And then you go into one of those planets, the sixth world, so you're onto the sixth layer, and you find lots of organisms, you know, things like us, which is world number 5. So the reason that middle circle is a bit thicker, because that's us. And we're like the event horizon between the outer and the inner.
Yeah.
So if you zoom into us, then you got four worlds, four more circles inside. So you go into the cellular, molecular, atomic and subatomic worlds.
Which we're only just finding out about.
Yeah, and you get right down to the bottom one, and it's what Nassim calls a singularity, which is the way we're all connected to the one still, you know, and connected through the sun back to spirit. So that's the nine worlds thing, and there's going to be a whole load of stuff about that going on the website when I get time to. I got so much stuff, man. I'm like, I need some time just to load it all up, you know. But so yeah, going on. Four worlds inside, four worlds outside. And then if you go on to page 4, it just says you are the balance, you know, you are the event horizon, the fifth world, the event horizon between the inside and the outside. You are the center of your own universe. Yeah. You know?
I love the way that previous circular diagram focuses on the solar plexus on Da Vinci's man.
Yeah, the Vitruvian man, I think that's called.
Yeah, the one.
Yeah, so I kind of stuck that on there because it fitted really nicely into my circle as well. But, you know, if you carry on, page 5 there, it just says we are multidimensional light beings here as humans, you know, sentient beings.
Yeah.
So we have an outside and an inside, and our skin and our torsion field is like our event horizon. And outside of us, everything is light. And we can see light energy, electromagnetic radiation. But inside of us is dark. But we can feel dark energy, which I believe is chi or magnetism, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the electric and the magnetic. You've got the two polarities of the universe. And then if you click onto the next one, page 6, we're talking about the soul, which I was getting this message, you know, it's an aspect of God. And, you know, that's been around a long time, and it's in lots of different books and material as well, you know, which I came across sort of later on.
It's changed over time, though, hasn't it? Because the ancients used to believe that we were in the soul, and we've come to believe that the soul is in us.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right. But what I was getting was the soul is the thing that connects us back to spirit, you know. So I'm showing it inside there. Inside in the darkness, but you know, it's soul, it's being solo, it's and it's soul, you know, it's the sun, and the sun is the thing that connects us back to spirit as well, you know. So there's a connection between our soul and the sun.
Yeah. Again, the Maya would agree with that, because they reckon that the information is pulsed at us in the form of light directly to our pineal from the sun, And that and that it itself is pulsing light from what they call the mind of light beyond the sun, which is housed at the center of the galaxy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. I kind of studied their calendar, oh, I don't know, must be 10 years ago or more now, but I didn't really get too much into their philosophy. I know they talked about Hanabku, I think it was, and the Pleiades and Alcyon and stuff like that. So I was interested in some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't really get too much into their metaphysical stuff.
Well, that's the core of their belief is that our pineal is like a holographic level down from the sun, which is itself a holographic level down from the whatever it is that's at the heart of the galaxy, from which everything locally sprung, as it were. They were pretty.
Yeah, cool. I'm into that. I mean, because one of my analogies is about like the internet and the sun is like a hub, you know, like a hub file server.
Yeah.
And all the planets are file servers, and then everyone connected in is like a PC or a laptop or something, you know. And the sun then is connected through to the supermassive black hole in the mid center of the galaxy. Yeah. So you can imagine it like a big internet network, you know.
Yeah. I don't think they're sure.
And I really do. Go on.
They're not sure anymore that we're talking about black holes, are they? Because in theory, nothing should come out of a black hole and everything should go into it. But I think there's an awareness now that there's quite a lot of energy coming out of black holes too. So
I think, you know, but it's not light. It's not the electromagnetic radiation stuff. It's the dark energy stuff.
Yeah.
It's the magnetism that's coming out. And the gravity is stopping the light escaping, whereas with the sun you've got the opposite. You know, you've got all the radiation coming off. You know, and the magnetism, which you can't see, but you can feel it. And I found being down in the south of Europe, whether it's, you know, south of France in the summer or south of Portugal in the winter, obviously what you do is you see the sun a lot. You see the sun every day.
Yeah,
and you can see that you can watch the sun rise every day, and you can watch it set every night, and that is awesome. I mean, I'd recommend everyone tries to do that every day, but it's quite hard to do it when there's a lot of cloud around. You know, what I found was you can just wake up, open your curtain, face the sunrise, and you can stare right at the sun as it rises, and it's beautiful, you know, and it makes you feel really good. Now, I didn't know why. I just like doing it, you know.
Yeah.
And I love watching it set, and I found at sunset you can stare into it as well, you know, and it doesn't hurt your eyes. And then recently I've come across this sun gazing stuff that's coming out now on YouTube and whatever, where apparently, you know, this is a really good thing to do because what you're saying about the Maya philosophy on that backs that up.
Yeah. I've spoken about sun gazing before on the show because I discovered when I was looking into it that there's a character out there somewhere whose name I don't have on the tip of my mind, who lived well over a year under full 24-hour-a-day medical supervision, and apparently was living simply on sunshine. In that time, he had basically no food and hardly any water at all.
That's right. I came across that. That's actually on the BBC website.
Is it? Well, great.
Yeah, and if you go to my YouTube channel, I've got it on there.
Because again, they found that his pineal was kind of enlarged compared with the rest of ours, and quite glossy and not shriveled.
Yeah, well, it makes sense if he's feeding it with loads of good energy, I guess.
Yeah, I must admit, when I do get to see a sunrise or a sunset now, which is infrequent in Wales, it has to be said, but when I do actually...
Cymru, come on, Cymru.
Cymru, yeah, indeed, I do, which I do. Sorry, yeah, indeed, slap my wrists. Yeah, and I find the same thing. It's very relaxing and elevating at the same time.
So I certainly found that, and I'm really missing the sun at the moment with the weather we got here kind of thing. But anyway, you know, so that's what that bit was about, the soul connect to the sun. And then if you look at page 7, it just goes on from there. I won't go into the rest of it now because you can look at it yourself, but it goes into what I believe our aims are about mastering your emotions, mastering your astrology. Mm-hmm. So you rule your stars. So you become master like a Jedi, you know. So you're not a victim of them, reacting to them all the time. You're in control.
Mastery of the emotions is one of the keys to this game, isn't it, really?
It really is, yeah. Because what the news and everything does is it tries to wind you up, make you angry and frustrated and critical of other people, and it, you know, it brings you back into your base chakra all the time. And I think the aim of all this stuff is to you know, learn this lesson of unconditional love and enhance your energy, use your energy, all the Kundalini stuff to rise it up from the base, up the spine, and activate the pineal. And, you know, that's what all the alchemy and the astrology stuff's all about. So, you know, we can talk about that later,
they are kind of like an echo, aren't they, of our emotions, the astrology and everything. They're also part of the kind of holographic layers.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You know, and others, like it says there, others may try to control your sensory world, the world outside of you, because your five senses bring the outside into you. But your sixth sense, your intuition, your little voice, brings the spirit world from inside out, you know.
And that's what
goes the other way.
You found it easier to access that kind of more subtle information since you've been living closer to the beach and further from the city.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you can, and I don't, when I say control here, I don't mean, I'm not being so arrogant to think that you can control, because of course one of the ways to get free is to let go of trying to control. So I'm not talking about control in a physical way, but I'm talking about within you. You can master your you know, you get your link to spirit, and you can master your emotions and master your astrology and achieve balance. That's all it's all about, achieving balance. And ultimately, you know, if you're good enough, maybe you can ascend, you know, and you can become a planetary consciousness or a solar consciousness. But we look at the outside. Others may try to control, you know, your sensory world, because then they can infiltrate your spirit world by distracting you through your five senses. And then you forget about your mission and you link back to spirit, and you get bogged down in all the stimulants and the sex and all the other, the sort of dark side of stuff. Not that sex is dark at all. You know, if you use it in a good way, it's awesome, and you can create some really good energy. But the way it's portrayed with porn and the media and stuff, it's very base, you know, and it's all just purely physical, and that's not a good thing. Go on.
Do you find that once you start paying attention to the more subtle messages that are coming to you, that you get them in a greater variety?
Yeah, and more frequent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, maybe if I just skip on a couple of slides, I got the thing in there about this page 8, go with the flow, looking at the Bagua. So this is where the Bagua is a 3x3 magic square. And of course it's you can also relate it because it's again a 9, a 3x3, a 9 with the middle one being 5, and they call that Tai Chi, which means balance.
Yeah.
My son Chris is big into the white crane side of Tai Chi, and he practices that a lot. And you know, I can't get anywhere near what he can do, and I know my character. I don't have the patience to do it. But it's all about balance, you know. But we can aim to get balance spiritually, you know, as well. So if we look at page 9, is just shows you the Bagua, how they use it in feng shui, and all feng shui is about, you know, the energy in space, and it's about placement of things, yeah, to enhance your energy flow and all that stuff. But skipping on number 10, how you move through the Bagua is you go from number 1 at the bottom, which symbolizes your journey, and it goes like that. Can you see page 10?
Yes, I've got it. Yeah.
So you got 1, and then you go up to 2, and then you follow it across to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And that's how it goes. And it's a 3x3 magic square. And so if you skip on to page 11, then you got what I call the nine bodies. And maybe, you know, there's this thing about you renew your body every 7 years. You've replaced all your cells.
Yeah, physically and on an energetic level, it happens much more quickly than that, doesn't it? It's happening second by second at the subatomic level.
That's right. But if you, just talking about your vessel, if you looked at the bodies that you might inhabit while you're doing all this stuff, you're going to get a new one every 7 years, you know.
Yeah.
But your first one, your first 7 years, is a sort of from birth through infanthood and childhood. Where, as far as I could see, without being too negative, you know, there is lots of good stuff as well. But you're kind of born into bondage, you know, and you're conditioned to forget your true nature.
Yeah.
So you come from spirit through the soul into your first body, kind of into serfdom. You know, that's where I started off. So if you look at page 12. That's your kind of starting point. It's like a surf in society, you know.
Yeah.
Lugging the stuff around and doing what you're told, you know, by various people.
I heard an interesting tale about a specific example of that, of how that happens with certainly most children in Western society, in that I'm told that we know how to swim when we're born, and that it's the attitude of the adults around us that teach us not only to stay away from water, but that we can't swim. And that occurred to me that was perhaps a really good kind of metaphor for what's going on at that point in our lives.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Definitely. Actually, I'm just going to post your link into the Skype group, because there might be a few people there who want to check it out. But anyway, I'll do that in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so that you start off as a serf, and the objective, if you go on to 13, the objective is to get to your ninth body, into maturity, where you remember and rediscover your true nature. Yeah. So that's like the objective. So if you look at number 14, I found an image which kind of quite summed that up well, I thought. Where you've achieved balance and mastered your emotions, and you've ruled your astrology, and you open up that connection again, and it all feels pretty good, you know.
And that happens to you at 63 cycles around the sun, then, does it? Nine lots.
Well, between, actually, if you think about it, between 56 and 63, yeah.
Yeah.
Because by 56, you're on your ninth body, which then ends at 63.
I see. Yeah. Another interesting parallel. Another interesting
first
parallel.
One goes from the first one goes from 0 to 7. But you know that I'm not saying it's as prescriptive as that. But you know, as a kind of rough guide, and hopefully you get there a lot quicker.
The Maya also have a cycle of completion at 52 solar cycles.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a different number, but I certainly feel that kind of around the 50 mark, it is almost like there's that kind of gathering of information and experience. It's almost as if you can kind of feel it happening mentally and emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's like the, you know, the objective, if you like.
Yeah.
To live in unconditional love. And it's easy to say, but it's not very easy to do, especially when, If you react into your emotions, you can't live in unconditional love, because it's like a barrier to that.
And emotional reaction is certainly what the media seem to want to stimulate. I was at a point, I haven't read newspapers for ages, but I was looking at the headlines on them, but I realised that they were a major distraction from calmness and from a kind of accepting, and if you like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally. I mean, the whole aim of the mainstream media is to distract us and keep us bogged down in the dense vibration of the material. You know, it's just energy vibrating at a low frequency. And what we really want to be doing is taking all the energy and enhancing it into the positive energy, back to spirit. You know, so that's what that's kind of trying to show. And then if you click on to 15, if you're listening to the podcast, it's like, guys, I hope you found the link to this document.
I can when I do the podcast, I can put the link in the little summary next to it, hopefully, so people will be
able to. That'd be cool, yeah. And I'll stick, hopefully by then I'll have these slides actually loaded onto Project Freeman as well. Brilliant. In the right place. So yeah. Anyway, so number 15 is, I've tried to sum that up, like, when you, and this is something I got came to me at the Venus Love Festival last year, the transit of Venus across the sun. I did that one.
Yeah.
So I did a bit of a presentation, played some songs and stuff, and I was actually in my tent waiting to go in. I was listening to a guy called David Ash, who wrote a fantastic book. Gave me a copy of it. But I was kind of listening to his talk, and I was just looking at my slides and looking at any tweaks. And I suddenly got this thing of this about being an ace of hearts, living in unconditional love. So at the time I just had ace, acceptance, compassion, and empathy. So if you could live with acceptance and compassion and empathy, you know, you're kind of living in unconditional love. And since then, I've had this thing about understanding, being in there, and then relating to others with respect and recognition. So recognizing yourself in others and others in yourself.
Yeah.
Because we're all one, and we're just all different aspects of the one shown in different ways, you know.
And we don't know what aspect we are except in relation to those around us.
Exactly. And all the mirroring stuff and that.
Yeah.
So I like this little thing again, you know, you are ace. Yeah. So you is understanding, and our is relating to others with respect and recognition of yourself in them and them and yourself. And then living with acceptance of others and acceptance of yourself and who you really are inside, and not your persona that you show to the outside world, but the true you, you know.
Yeah.
And forgiving yourself for all the things that you beat yourself up about and feel guilty about, which is all negative and stops you, you know, evolving. So, you know, acceptance is a big thing, and forgiveness and all that. And then, you know, and compassion. So putting yourself with empathy again, so putting yourself into other people's situation and not judging them for it, because, you know, you put yourself in their shoes and see how you would handle it, kind of thing.
I think one of the most useful things that one of my teachers said to me was that, you know, it's important to recognize that if you had the other individual's experience and parents and children and education and all the rest of it, then it's careless to think you'd do anything other than what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just kind of kind of basic denial, really.
Denial, you know? Yeah.
And then it's exactly that kind of reaction that fires up the emotions and the chemical response and builds the ego, really.
Yeah, that's right. My good mate Martin used to be in a band with me, and you know, great friend of mine. One of his like band nicknames was Indie Nile. Because we were like an indie band, you know.
Yeah.
So, I like that one. You can be a good bit of punnage, you know.
No puns is one of the good things that English is useful for, I think, and it's where a lot of the humour comes from.
Unfortunately, headlines in the sun as well, but there you go. You can't have it always.
There's got to be two ends to a stick, hasn't there?
Well, yeah. As one of my other favourite little sayings is, "There's always a trade-off, mate." You know.
Yeah.
Trade-off. But actually, if you use Facebook at all, if you go and have a look at my page there, you'll, because I use it as a tool to post information, you know.
Yeah.
But when I came back from that Venus Love thing, I was so loved up with the whole Venus Love experience. I started a group called, you know, Ace of Hearts. I think I called it Community Love Pirates or something. And I remember my boys saying to me, "Oh, Dad, you know, that sounds a bit dodgy, you know." Community Love Pirates.
Yeah.
You imagine that 70s, like a waka waka chicka chicka wah wah, you know, sort of music going on. But anyway, so be careful with that one. But yeah. it was meant with unconditional love, you know, and nothing else.
Yeah.
But if you click on to 16, and then we'll sort of wrap this bit up. You know, the outcome is getting home, returning to spirit, and oneness and infinite love.
Yeah.
And if you click on to 17, you've got the seven stages. Seven is nature's number, of course. So there's seven steps between surf and self. So if you click on to 18, you'll see what I'm trying to say is it's not a linear thing. It's not like you have 7 years in one and then you go and have 7 years in two and 7 years in three. You know, you're going to jump around all over the place,
yeah,
like a particle, like revolving around a nucleus of a cell, you know?
Yeah.
Of an atom, sorry.
Yeah.
So it's not like a linear thing. You know, nothing is. Everything's cyclical and spiral in nature.
That's really brilliant.
As you well know, Mr. Sacred Geometry there, you know.
So it means that everything's informing everything else.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, the system tries to distract you from your path along the way. So it's like what I call systematic distraction. And it makes appeals to the desires of the five senses, you know, and tries to distract you. And it tells you you got to work till you're 65. Well, if you think you're 9 bodies in 63 years, you get to 65, you haven't got anything. Then you got to start getting free, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And indeed, it's too much for many people when they retire, isn't it?
Yeah, and then a lot of them die within 5 years of retiring because they miss work, because
yeah,
they got used to the structure and routine of that, and they've missed all this other stuff, you know, maybe.
It's always,
and again,
it's been one of my aims. Aims over recent years to realise that that every day should be a holiday.
Yeah, exactly, man. We're not here to work. We're here to play, and we're here to put the in tray straight in the out tray.
Most happy certainly. Yeah.
But then let's finish this bit off then. So 19, there you go. That's what I call the 9S path to freedom. So you go surf to seek, to study, to shelter, into soul. And then you sever, you serve, you share, and then you get to self. So, you know, seeking, and you can go through this after, but there's a bit on each one, and there's going to be music. So each of my songs relate to some of these stages as well.
Yeah.
But seeking is about seeking out what your calling is, what your mission is, why you're here, and realizing that. And then studying is studying how you might get there, but also studying the system that you're in and how to get out of it.
Yeah.
And the study thing goes wrong, you know, that never ends. Shelter's all about finding some shelter for yourself, so that you don't have to pay a mortgage on it, you don't have to pay rent, which means you don't need to work so much to earn money to pay that, because that's the biggest single thing that's going to be a millstone around your neck is a mortgage or rent every month.
That's the stage, so if you find, stage we've been working at for the last 18 months or so, and it has proved to be very freeing, not just of the rent and all the other charges and contracting that are associated with the stone address, but we've found that one of the things it does is it makes, if you've got a kind of home and it's attached to all of that sort of stuff, then that is a major distraction from opportunities that you might be getting elsewhere.
Totally, yeah. You've felt it yourself, yeah. And, you know, most of us have. And I'll never forget when I sold the house and got rid of the mortgage, you know, what an awesome feeling that was.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I present this at, I'm going to present this at the Green Gathering.
Oh, great. I'll see you there, mate.
Yeah, yeah. In the Gregorian, it's August the 1st to the 4th, I think, down Chepstow Way.
Yep, that's it. Yeah. Awesome.
So I'm going to do this surf to self thing there, and I'm going to play the songs that go with each bit of this. But just to finish it off for tonight, so, yeah, shelter's about that. And for me, it was a houseboat and a camper van, you know?
Yeah.
Then soul is about going inside, reconnecting and spending time on your own and traveling alone. And, you know, you learn a lot about yourself through doing that kind of stuff. Sever is all about chopping off all the things you don't need.
Yeah.
So it's about realizing that you don't need all these material things and you don't need all these contracts with the state,
yeah,
that tie you into your legal fiction being taxed to the hilt. But all of these things, as you'll see on the slides, if you look at it, they all have an outward aspect and an inward aspect, you know, like we looked at originally.
Yeah.
You know, the four worlds outside, the four worlds inside. Well, each of these circles have an outward and an inward aspect. So there's, when you're severing, you're not only severing physical things like contracts with government and getting rid of all your stuff, you're also severing, you know, your dependence on your ego and all of that stuff as well.
And that all goes together, doesn't it? It's not like you have to learn them as separate things. It's like by doing one of them, the rest of them start occurring anyway.
Exactly. And then you got the next step is serve. And that's about, you know, serving yourself and serving your body with the right nutrients and things. But also serving others, you know, and serving notice as well. Serving notice on the government and getting yourself out of all those material ties and taxes and things
that are used
for war and interest on death that you don't want to be contributing to. I mean, interest on debt in this territory that's being claimed by the crown is, you know, not the island itself, but the artificial construct called the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. The public debt, when public means royal, if you look at part one of my site, you'll see that.
Yeah.
The public debt, the crown's debt, Her Majesty's debt, as I call it. The interest on that debt now is about 50 billion a year, and it's equivalent to all the spending on education of England.
She's got the principal sitting there in jewels and property.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And she's got all the reserves. Well, I say she, you know, the crown.
Yeah.
The corporation soul called the crown has all the reserves, as you say, all the assets. But you know, we don't see any of that. All we see is the interest on the debt, which is now the fourth. If you look at the government spending review, it's the fourth biggest item after welfare, healthcare, and education.
And look what they're doing.
That's how big it is.
Look what they're doing with welfare, healthcare, and education.
Well, exactly. I mean, let's not even get into that. We haven't got time. But, you know, it's pretty obvious when you start looking at it. So that's the serving bit. And then you go over to share. So that's all about sharing what you found out, you know, sharing with others, which is kind of what I'm trying to do through my website and doing talks and playing gigs and doing presentations and stuff like that, you know.
I love that as well, because it's a slightly bigger cycle. But again, there's a nice resonance with the Maya there, because their step 11, if you like, because they're doing 13 rather than 9, is to is release, is the letting go, exactly as you said, of all the ideas that and things and other stuff that's come on board as a result of earlier projects. And their next stage is a stage of resonance, is actually ringing the remaining information, the kernel, the stuff that you actually need to keep, and sort of vibrating it out to other people around you. It's a phase of cooperation and communication.
All right. Well, that's really cool, man. I'm going to have to look at that stuff. You're going to have to give me some links or something to check out.
Not a problem. Can do that. Because this is a fantastic presentation, by the way. Thank you. there's loads of things in it that remind me of specifically the Mayan cycles. They're very, very much like these. So, yeah, clearly there's another whole conversation to be had there. We'll have to get the beers in for that one, I reckon.
Not just the beers, mate, eh? But, yeah, I mean, this stuff all just came to me lying up in the hills in France over the winter in an old stone gite I was sharing with the girl I was with at the time. And, you know, just, again, a lot of time in nature. And this the kind of stuff all came to me. So, when I present it, down at the Green Gathering, I'll carry on with the rest of the slides up to number 30, you know, and I'll go into a bit of detail about each one, and I'll play some songs to do with each one. But basically, once you've kind of ticked all those boxes, you're then on your way to becoming your true self, you know, not the self that you show through your ego and your personality through the moon, but the real individual aspect of yourself from the sun, you know, that's the true nature inside. And you're confident of that, and you're happy to show it and share it with people, and there's no judgment about what it is or anything, you know. And I think once you got that acceptance, you can then reconnect through your soul back to spirit and you can go home.
Yep. Or you can begin the next cycle that follows on that, because everything's spiral, isn't it? So you're then at the beginning of another cycle of investigation and learning.
Exactly. So I don't know if you want to play a tune now, mate, and I'll go and grab a beer.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I'll put a couple of tunes on, and then we'll come back with the next bit. That was really great. That was. I really enjoyed that. I hope the people out there enjoyed it as well.
Cool, man. I'll see you in a minute.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I shall put a tune on, and I'll see you in a bit. Thanks a lot, Litmus.
Nice one.